All right, guys, we're live and you are on the Rick Ginn channel. And today we're going to switch it up and we're going to talk about, honestly, just that I gave seven steps plus on how to fix your life. And the really cool part is, obviously, I'm going to talk specifically about wholesaling, but I'm going to start this off and give you specifics, things you need to do. Even if you haven't even started your wholesaling career, or you're in a rut and you're looking to make a change, or you're tired of being stuck in what I call the matrix. Me and Zach just did a live event here in Stuart, Florida, and we spent two whole days and we talked about basically if you do what society has you do, you're stuck. And honestly, not only are you stuck, it is the most unfulfilling, boring life. God did not put you on this earth to put you in a cubicle from 9 to 5 and work on someone else's dream. He put you on this earth to work on your dream. You just have to have the guts to go out and do it. Now, if you're going, well, I have a big mortgage, I have a family, I have obligations. Dude, welcome to my party, because I had all that coming down on me with two small children, no way out, a huge amount of debt, and I decided I was going to make a massive change. That's how I found wholesaling. So I'm going to teach you the fundamentals on how to yourself and how to really make a change. Now, here's the really cool part, guys. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 14, you could be 104. All this stuff applies and it works. And guys, I have quite a bit of experience in this area. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's see here. Where am I going to start? All right, guys. Okay. So let's do this. Actually, I kind of enjoy subjects like this, but they're good. So if you guys believe that, you ever notice like things to happen in three? So you ever notice if you're having a really bad day, it's like one thing piles on another and you're like, oh my God, here it goes. And it's basically an energy force. And what you've got to understand, that same energy force that gives you a bad day, you can actually use it for its countersuit for positive energy. I know it sounds weird, just hear me on out. But you ever know when you have like a really crappy day, things just kind of pile on each other? Well, the reality is because your negative thoughts, some of your negative actions, it piles up on you and it gets really bad. Now, we've all experienced that. And honestly, you guys experience it more than the other thing. It's just the truth. I know I did even before I ever started wholesaling. The thing is, when you have something really good that happens in your life, a lot of you get like really excited. You're in a great mood. By the way, the mood you choose is 100% your choice. It can never be dependent on the circumstances around you. So you got to clarify that. But something great happens, somebody gets their health back, you get a financial bliss. And as soon as you start to get like two, around the third one, this is what you all do, because this is what I call upward spiraling. The other one I told you is downward spiraling. And all of us know, like we've seen people spin all the way down to the bottom. Here's the secret. You can do the exact same thing with positive spiraling, meaning upward spiraling. But here's what happens. You ever notice one or two things happen? Around the third thing, it stops. You know why? Because you guys self-sabotage yourself. You don't think you deserve it. And you go poo-poo on yourself. And you go, no, I'm broke. I meant to work for somebody else. This is just how it is. It's going to be. You've got to stop that. It is called upward spiral. Everybody knows about a downward spiral. You can do the exact same thing in an upward spiral. You just got to keep it going. Stop self-sabotaging yourself. You have to do the things that brought positivity in your life and just keep re-energizing it. And if you follow it, it will pull you up so much higher. But it's so easy to go negative and spin downwards. So why don't you just give your chance to go in an upward spiral? Let a good thing happen. Let it keep building and take that positive energy and the momentum you get from it and go with it. It can happen. For the longest time, I didn't think anything positive could happen in my life just because it's how I was programmed with my family and my parents. And I decided one day I was just going to let it happen. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It was hard. But I'm telling you, I've been on an upward spiral for like 12 years, guys. It just gets better every year. Do I have issues that happen? Yes. Do I have disappointment? Absolutely. But I don't let it take me down. I find a way to energize myself and go above it. So if you believe you can go in a downward spiral, if you will accept the positive belief you can do the same thing in an upward spiral, you do it. You just got to harness your energy and you got to take the right actions. And that's the whole purpose of today's video. We're going to go through the whole thing to help you do that. The number two, I know you don't want to talk about this. Let's talk about your circle of friends around you. Now, I've been on this earth for a long time, guys. The people I grew up with, the most special people in my heart, you all know your childhood friends you grew up with, they were phenomenal. I mean, they got you through some crazy times. But here's the reality is, for the most part, you didn't pick these people out. It was mostly by location. You all went to the same school, same middle school, same high school, elementary school. And there's special times because you grew up when you were young and immature. And honestly, it was a carefree lifestyle. Now, if you're a grown adult and you're still talking to these people, I don't want any of you to break your relationships off these people. But if you're stuck in that circle of friends that just don't facilitate in your life, they entertain you, but they don't facilitate you, you're going to have to make some decisions. Now, I love all my childhood friends, but I would never, ever take one lick of financial advice. And I did for the longest time. And here's what happens. The people you hang around the most outside your family, even your family, to be brutally honest with you, that's who you become. So if you're around a bunch of heavy drinkers and partiers, and that's what you're going to wind up being. It's just the truth. You got to find other people that will push you up. Now, it doesn't mean you lose all your friends. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. About 10 years ago, I basically changed my entire friends. Sorry, it's the truth. I still hang out with them, but all my friends from my previous life, I call post like 33, I do it on my terms. I don't let them bring in all their crap and everything that happens. So let me tell you what your circle of friends do. And this is the truth. I know this is going to be hard, but if you don't fix this part, it is hard to get an upward spiral because you're stuck. Most people by their early 30s, they don't grow and develop anymore. They just, I don't want any change. I want everything to stay. Have you ever met a really old elderly people? They hate change. Now, I don't want their health to change, but the reality is life is always going to change. It's changed ridiculously before I got on this earth, and it's going to change even more wildly when I get off the earth. So I accept that life is nothing but change. People are going to come in my life. They come in for a season. Maybe there's a reason, and there's going to be people that leave. Some people are going to die. It sucks, guys. But if you think you can have this little bubble world and try to keep everything the exact same, it's unattainable, and you're never going to make it doing that. Now, if you hang around people that do, here's the people that are taking you out. If you're around people that do nothing but gossip and have negative talk influence, you've got to lose them. Just get rid of them, guys. They're not going to help you. You're never going to grow as a person. They're never going to push you. They're never going to tell. They think making like $150,000 is a phenomenal amount of money. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it is not a lot of money. In the beginning, I want to get you all there, but the reality is you can make whatever you want. It's completely unlimited, but you've got to hang around the right people and connect with people that truly want to aspire to do amazing things in life. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you know about like people who gossip, oh, did you hear what Joey did? Did you hear what Sandra did? Gossip is just perpetuating their misery in life. Nothing beneficial happens from gossip. When you talk about people when behind their back and they're not there, it is nothing more than to feed your ego and make you feel better because you got to put down other people. You're basically judging others and nothing's ever going to happen with it. And I'm just telling you, if you have this going on, guys, I had this going on a lot, like all of my 20s and even 30s. And one day I decided I just don't need this crap anymore. And I got to tell you, it's the most freeing thing I ever did. I was confused, like I got to start all over with my friends. No, I just grew, I developed, and I wanted to find people that would help push me. I want to be the dumbest guy in the crowd. Now, do I still hang out with like my high school friends and stuff? I do, but, and it's a little bit awkward, but it's not awkward for me ever. Okay. I don't party anymore. I don't like, now I have a good time. I remember my conversations. I don't go out and I don't drink with these people, and they're still stuck in that 80s and 90s that I grew up with them in. And I'm here to tell you, man, if you have that going on in your life, you really got to look in the mirror and go, man, I'm never going to get anywhere if I keep hanging with these people. It just means you shouldn't be around them like 20 hours a day because you are going to become them. And I'm just telling you, until you make this fix, not a lot's going to change. We're talking about that upward spiral. You have to create momentum. It's not going to do it by itself. If you're hanging around the crowd that doesn't push you, they don't make a lot of money, and they just gossip and they're very negative, you say you want it, but you're not willing to do the things that get it. And that's where you have to make the decision. Step two, ready for this? Organizational habits. I got to tell you, I was a train wreck before I grabbed this and took a hold of it. What do I mean by that? I'm going to start with the basics. Number one, if you have a car, I'm going to let you know on a little trick. I'm just going to spill the beans out on it. And it's funny, but it's true. Somebody pulls up in a car in a business meeting and I'm in a parking lot and I'm waiting for you to get out of the car, I'm going to take a glance inside your car. I'm not here to judge you. I just want to know if you are organized. And when people have crap all over their car and it's trashed, I already know where my conversation's going before I even have it. That's right. I am predetermining how organized of a person you are by the, I don't care what you drive. You could have a 1972 Pinto. If it's clean and you keep everything organized and you vacuum it out and like keep the trash out of it, I'm fine with it. But I got to tell you, man, I get in people's car and sometimes I'm horrified. It's like, I mean, my God, just have some pride in your life. I'm sorry. It's the truth, guys. I was not always a neat freak when it comes to the car, when it comes to my house, my offices, everything. And what happens is I feel empowered when stuff's organized, when it's clean and it's ready to go, because your mind is just like someone's car. A car is a very personal choice. Some people have money, they can buy whatever they want. Some people don't have a lot of money and they're very stuck. But how you care for that car is everything. Honestly, it's free to vacuum your car out. Like, you can go to any car wash place. It's almost free. It's really not hard. And I'm just here to tell you, when people won't take care of their car, it probably means they're not taking care of their business. They're not taking care of their customers. And their house will probably be in a rougher. I'm not here to judge, but I'm not wasting time on the people. How this bleeds over, the reality is, how do you keep a calendar? Like, what is your schedule today? If I grabbed your phones right now, if I grabbed it, would I see a well-planned out, executed day, week, month, quarter, and year? If you're not doing it, do it. Why? We're talking about upward spiral. How you can do upward? Go clean your damn car out. I'm sorry, guys. You got to take pride in this stuff. You're not 16 in your mom's room or in your basement. You got to take pride in what you do. When someone pulls up in a business meeting with me and the car is trashed, I am immediately freaked out. I'll still hear them out, but I'm going to assume they're extremely unorganized and I'm going to push to see if they're organized. Now, every now and then someone proves me wrong, but for the most part, you give me a dirty trash car, I guarantee they're not an organized person. And there's something that happens inside of you when things are like clean. Guys, cleaning doesn't really cost money. If you don't have the money for cleaning, it's called energy. You just got to do it. And I wasn't the cleanest person for a long time, but I cannot walk in the office unless everything's organized, the paperwork's neat. And for God's sakes, if my calendar is not organized and ready to go, I don't feel like I'm functioning throughout the day, because I live like this all through my life before I made these changes. Now, I've been wholesaling for 20 plus years now. 20 years ago, I was an absolute nightmare. And honestly, it took me 7 to 8 years to really dial this in. I created an upward spiral. Here's the cool part about upward spiral is I had so much room to go up. It was inevitable. And a lot of you have that in you right now. Just start with the basics. Pick up your room, pick up your house, pick up your car, take pride in it. And then once you start cleaning the things around you, the psychology in your mind, especially your unconscious mind, is going to go, oh crap, they're cleaning up everything. And then you'll start cleaning this up in here. And this is how it works. That's simply how I started. I was somewhat of a control freak. So starting by cleaning was easy. Cleaning this up was a long 20-year process, and I do it every day, just like you guys do. Okay, let's move on to number three here. Ready? This is a big one. Can you just stop being busy? My God, some of you guys were the busiest people I ever met in my life. My mother-in-law, which I love her to death. I don't think she watches this channel. She does. Hi. She is the most retired, busy person I ever met in my life. Just cannot like be present in the moment. And I'm here to tell you, busy usually means you're unorganized and you let the day dictate what's going to happen to you. That's why you're busy, because you can't figure out what to do and everything's a five alarm emergency. The reality is, if you run your life this way, your stress hormones cause issues in your body. This is how you get disease. You get a lot of screwed up things that happen. Our bodies are not meant to be in fight mode 24/7, at least, you know, 12 hours a day when you're awake or whatever. The reality is, we in the old days, we were wired. We got chased by a saber-tooth tiger. We ran like hell. Why? Because if we didn't, we weren't going to be on the earth any longer. But the problem is, guys, with your stress and your busyness, you're constantly stressing your body. That's how you get disease. That's how you break down. That's how, when you stop working out, you stop taking care of yourself. The reality is, if somebody tells me they're busy and they repeat it over and over, you know what I know right off the bat? This is code, guys. Busy equals broke. It's the truth. I can't tell you how many times. Busy is just a mechanic you go through to feed your ego, to make it feel like you're like super busy, because you make it feel like it's fulfilling. Now, if you want to get busy and you don't have a lot of money, start by cleaning your car, cleaning your house, cleaning your office, cleaning everything out. And that's the only kind of busy I guess I'm up with. And I want you to do that at night or early in the morning. You can't do it in the middle of the day because you should be out doing your wholesaling operation. So that being said, let's move on to number four. You ready for this? Stop trying to look rich. Everybody knows except you. And I did this, guys. And it wasn't like I wanted to be Lamborghini rich, but you know, the super nice house, the ridiculous car where I could have barely afford the payment, the nicest vacations I could afford, and buying everybody presents at Christmas, even though I knew I was financially broke. If this resonates at all, the reality is, you've got to stop appear to look rich, because I hate to tell you that the people you're trying to impress are these friends they don't care about. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. If a friend is defined on how wealthy you are, you're going to have problems anyways. So you don't want to do it. I'm just telling you guys, so many people are so busy trying to look rich. They do their fake. They either got a real Rolex, which is a real problem for me if you're broke, or you have a fake Rolex and you keep holding your arm like this because you want everyone to think you're rich. You just lie. You're just lying to yourself, and it creates huge heartache in your body. And here's why you're doing it. Because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's an old saying on it. I think it should be, keeping up with those famous girls in California, starts with a K. It's ridiculous, guys. If you will never keep up with the Joneses, you're not keeping up with the Kardashians. It's just not going to happen, because they're operating on, some of them, billion-dollar lifestyles, and you're operating on sometimes $50,000 to $75,000. That is not rich money. And you're better off finding a way to use that money to do your upward spiral instead of trying to lease a lifestyle you can't afford, because you're going to have to keep it up till you're 99 and you're not going to make it. I figured this out the hard way, I'm telling you. Here, so instead of looking rich, here's the key distinction you have to make. Now, coming to number five, you have to learn to become rich. Now, it's not an overnight sensation. It took me a long time to get where I'm at. But I will tell you, in my first year in wholesaling, I figured out how to generate revenue. And until you get revenue, it's hard to fix a lot of your problems, especially when you're broke. And it's just the honest to God truth. So you have to make a commitment to learn to become rich. How do I do that? The reality is, to actually become rich when you don't have money and you're not going to have a trust fund or anything handed to you, you're going to have to make a sacrifice. I've never met anyone who went from basically not having any money to being rich that did not make some sort of massive sacrifice. And I'm here's the truth, guys. You ready for this? The sacrifice is huge. You're going to change all your friends. Your house is going to change. Your car is going to change. Your bank accounts are going to change. Your subconscious is going to change. It feels overwhelming. And honestly, if you knew how much you're going to change, you would probably freak out on not even doing it. I've watched my 20-year journey, and honestly, I come from a low-income family. Like, we never had anything, okay? And we all thought the key ticket to get wealthy in the world, not even wealthy, just middle class, was go to get a good college education. And honestly, that whole damn thing's wrong. And you guys know it. I'm not even going to go into it. So you got to make a sacrifice. The really cool thing in wholesaling, the sacrifice, in my opinion, is 2 years. And honestly, if you're really poor, 1 year, like in 3 months, you can dig out of a huge hole. But the thing is, when you get money, you have to learn how to use it for better. Because if you just go out and buy crap and you buy liabilities that make you feel good in the short term, but are going to make you broke in the long, you're never going to get anywhere on doing it. So if you accept that you can actually make the sacrifice, you can actually make this work. Now, before we make the sacrifice, ready for this? Here's a statement. This is a broad one. Now we're going to get into the wholesaling after this. Your ego runs your life. The problem is usually when you're broke and you can't get things figured out and you're frustrated, it's because your ego is self-fulfilling and you're trying to feed it. How do you feed it? You try to keep up with the Joneses. You try to appear like you look rich. A lot of you guys have the holidays and stuff coming up, or maybe you have parties coming up and you get a DJ, you get a catering company. You shouldn't be doing any of that crap. Nobody cares. Go make sandwiches. Go get some chips. Just, you need to use that money to invest in your future. Stop leasing your lifestyle. You're never going to make it. So if you know your ego ruins your life because it's all about you, you have to be right. It's all about your self-esteem, whatever will make you feel good right away. How do you fix this problem? You simply lose your ego. The day you can become humbled and lose your ego. I can tell you, I walked in a recent room with, I guess you call them influencers. I don't give a crap. Like, not a lot of people impress me in life. I'm just being honest with you because I'm humbled in life. But I was in a room of, I guess, heavy hitter influencers, and two of them started out with, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Dude, if you don't know who you are, I need to call you a doctor. That's pretty bad." And boy, did they got pissed off. Do you understand how much of an egotistical statement it is? "Do you know who I am?" It's a joke. It means you just think you're so much. Listen, I'm not better than anybody I talk to, anybody I connect with. I don't care. And honestly, I don't care what you think about me. I just tell you my story as truthful and authentic as I humanly possibly can. And if it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, it's great. There's plenty of fake people on the internet. You don't, 9 out of 10 are mostly going to be that way. I'd rather just connect with you and tell you how it's going to be, because I've been a regular person most of my life. And honestly, I'm just like humbled. I hang out with everybody. We recently had a live event. Like, I enthralled it like 12 hours a day. That's what I do. My time is valuable to me and my family, but like, I'm not better than anyone else. I never thought I have been. And people who believe that it's really bothersome. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So lose your ego, because when you lose your ego, you can learn and you can accept knowledge and move forward. And ego, people stuck on their ego, they're always going to be right and they never accept new information. So stop being a victim. My God, I need number 6 here. Stop being a victim. Nobody cares. Oh God, nobody cares. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to go over this in depth. If you constantly play the victim card, you can't move forward. There's nothing you do. You're completely helpless. So there's horrible things that happen to people all over this earth. Find a way to dig out of it and move on with it. But if you're constantly in pity, there's nothing you can do. And after a while, you numb everybody else around you and they don't want to be around you. Remember, the energy you put out into the universe is what you get back. So if you're constantly a victim, you ever notice someone's a victim? They're a victim of everything. Everything's a victim. It's like, it's crazy. Now, you guys got to stop lying to yourself. This is probably the biggest statement I can make to you today, because I did this for a long time in my life. I said, everything's all right. I'm doing good. I could barely pay my mortgage or my rent, depending on where I was. I was putting just enough food on the table for my kids, and I was just getting by. And honestly, if my mom didn't help me out when I was younger, I don't know how I would have got by. I would have figured it out, but it wouldn't have been fun. So I kept saying everything's all right. It's not all right. If you're broke and things aren't working out, or you're working for a jackass of a boss, don't accept it. I accepted it for 12 years. I almost got in a physical confrontation with my boss. He was so difficult. The man thought he owned me. And if you can resonate with that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't give up who you are as a person because you're trying to get by. Find a way. Meet your obligations. Guys, I worked a job for almost 8-9 months before I did wholesaling full time because I didn't have a choice. And I know a lot of people I connect with, you, you're in the exact same solution. So find a lifeline. Find someone or some program that will help you out and understand. But the first thing you have to do is stop lying to yourself. How do we do that? You got to learn to be accountable to yourself. Here's the truth of to it, guys. If you're going to set a goal and say you were going to call, I don't know, 100 people today, and you called 10, and I'll just do it another time. You just lied to yourself. And the reason you guys lie to yourself, because it's easy, because who's going to call you to the plate? At some point, you got to put a foot down and go, you know what? I'm just going to stop lying to myself. Okay. Let me give an example. I'm not picking on anyone, but this, we got to have this conversation. If your family calls you big boned, they're lying to you. And then if you accept it, you're lying to yourself. Just admit, if you're overweight, I need to fix it. This is not the best version of myself. I'm going to fix it this year. I'm going to fix it right now. No tomorrow, I'm going to get it done. That's called being accountable to yourself. Because if you won't lie to yourself and you'll hold yourself accountable, you can fix anything you want in the world. But most people never tell themselves the truth, so they never have to have the painful confrontation to fix it. You got a choice in life. Either do the hard work up front and have an amazing life behind it, or just keep lying to yourself and keep getting by, and eventually you are going to wind up beyond financially broke. You're going to wind up in the hospital because your health, because you don't exercise and you don't eat. These are just hard truths. And we're in a society where everybody gets offended and nobody can handle the truth anymore. And this is why, if you don't know the truth and don't acknowledge it, you can't fix it. So it's convenient why people lie to themselves. Once you know the truth and you accept it, now you have to work on the part where it goes, I'm going to hold myself accountable. Now, it can be personal. It can be for wholesaling. Once you say you're going to do something, you have to do it, or you're lying to yourself. And here's the truth. You should protect yourself at all costs, because the last person you should ever lie to is yourself. And if you lie to yourself, it's a slippery slope. You'll lie to everybody. I already know that for a fact. I did it. And now I accept. And now I have to do hard things sometimes. I don't want to do it. Why? Because I don't want to deal with myself, because I'm not going to lie to myself. If you put yourself out there and say, hey, I'm on this program to fix this, be accountable to yourself. And if you're accountable to yourself, once you tell the truth, you can fix any problem you want in this world. But if you can't tell yourself the truth, like if you say, I got a particular disease, when the reality is you're just really unhealthy because of your lifestyle, you can't fix it. Same thing in wholesaling. If your wholesaling is failing, look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself the truth. You guys know I tell you exactly how to do this. The question is, are you going to take the correct actions and be super consistent with it? So let's talk about wholesaling. This is a wholesaling channel. So I give you guys this knowledge so I can help you out as much as possible. So let's talk about the actions to basically stop screwing yourself in wholesaling. Number one, it's a big one, guys. Stop falling for the pitch. Everybody is out there is there to sell you. And the reality is, if you're new to wholesaling, you are the biggest mark in the real estate industry. They are salivating for you. They're going after you. You are the reason I put out freewholesaling.com, because I was a mark. I still see it 20 years later, they're doing the exact same pitches. You got to call on a phone and see if you qualify. You know how you know if you qualify? Do you have a credit card? And if not, they got a payment plan for you. Guys, these are pitches. They are perfectly attuned to solve your problem with no meat or substance behind. If the programs are so good, they would let you use them for 30, 60, or 90 days before you ever paid them. The reason they don't do that is because they want your money. And once they have your money, most of you are going to, then your problems just begin. The reality is it's easier to flip students than it is houses. It's the truth. I've been pitched my entire life I could make millions flipping students. And I decided to make millions in just doing wholesaling. Now, I love what I do. I do this completely voluntarily, me and my son. Why? Because we're the only ones that do it this way. Because we are so tired of how the industry is. Yes, you are a mark if you're new to wholesaling. You're new to any type of real estate investing. And there's more coaches than you can ever imagine that are coming after you to get your money. Don't believe me? Watch the ads that pop on this if you're watching on YouTube. It is endless, guys. And I'm not saying everyone's bad, but how do you build a relationship when people just want your money up front? You don't know much about them. You got to go through a call. And by the way, that person on the other end of the calls earning anywhere from 10 to 25% on whatever you pay. Guys, the whole system's rigged against you. If you want to figure it out, go over to freewholesaling.com. I do not have an agenda other than to get you your first wholesaling deal, get you your first 100 grand. And then as we connect and you are my trust, I would love to do deals with you. That's how you build a long-term relationship. But most coaches just want to make money right away. And they're taking the quick money. It feeds their ego. It feeds their lifestyle. And they all run out of gas. Almost every coach I've ever seen, for the most part, they take the money and they always have an excuse why they leave the business. Well, I'm going to try this or that. If you were so good at wholesaling, you would have kept the business running because you talk about scaling it, but you never truly scaled it. And this is the truth of the business. So stop falling for the pitch. There is no secret to wholesaling. And honestly, if you don't take my word for it, go buy everyone else's program, compare it to freewholesaling.com, because 75% of the people who come through our program has already bought a program from somebody else. What does that tell you? The information's out there, guys. You need to get it from an organized source and a reliable source. And that's up to you to make that decision. But look at people's action when they pitch you for your money and start asking hard questions, because they're so desperate to get your money before you know the first thing about the course, you are at massive risk for doing this. And I remember when I paid my first 10 grand to a guru, I was thinking like, yes, yes. I was so disappointed within 30 days. I knew I was in trouble and I had to go figure this out on my own. And this is the story I hear over and over. And it's been 20 years ago since I started this business. So, okay, next one. The shiny object syndrome is killing your business. Stop trying to buy every fix out there to make your business better. Here's the secret. I've been doing this 20 years. It never stops. It's worse now than I've ever seen it. Everyone's got a new way you can flip a house. I have a new technique. You can do this. I'm going to relabel wholesaling this. It's BS, guys. Wholesaling is, it's been around for hundreds of years. Long before I did it, we'll be here long after I do it. Is it being attacked? Yeah, in certain spots, they try to attack it. Why? Because gurus sell the crap out of this stuff and they're making a ton of money and there's no restrictions on it. And it gives us bad press. If they sold it more responsibly or maybe give it away free and help people out instead of just helping out their bank accounts, maybe we'd have a different story. Listen, not every guru is bad out there. I've never said that. But for the most part, you give me 10 gurus, I'll show you 7 bad ones. And if you want me to, like, I'm not going to do exposés because I would, it's all you would do. And I hate doing negative stuff, but I got to tell you the truth. People keep giving you a shiny object syndrome and it never stops. And I'm here to tell you, it will never stop. There's always a new piece of paperwork, a technique. Guys, you just got to focus on wholesaling and marketing to motivated sellers. That is the secret. That's it. So every time I have a software, it's going to, my favorite one's with AI. And the guy, and I believe in AI. Don't get me wrong. We use it in our business for marketing and getting reports and getting information much faster and sorting through leads. But AI will never close your leads. There's people out there pushing software right now where the AI will close your customers for you. You've got to be kidding me. It's never going to work. I love that because I get so many more deals every time that pops up. So the reality is the shiny object syndrome, it sucks your time. You know, it sucks your money out and it fills up your shelf and the energy it takes, it just blows you away and it just wears on you. And it's extremely taxing. Guys, I've bought into every one of them. I'm here to tell you, stop buying all that crap. Do you know when I started wholesaling, I had a cell phone, which was almost, it was the flip phone. It wasn't quite the brick phone, but it was the flip phone. I just started when the brick phone was switching to the flip phone. That's how old I am. And I had a yellow piece of paper, and my CRM, my Podio, is I had a manila folder, and it had 1 through 31. And every time I had a lead, I was going to wait the week to come back, I'd put it back there. We didn't have Google Sheets, any of that crap. I'm telling you, if I could do that, and honestly, I operated for a year and a half that way, you could do it too. But you guys get so caught up in the technology, it's ridiculous. An old reliable source taught me long ago in another business I was in, it's you. You are the product. All this other stuff is to accentuate and make your business better. But at the end of the day, when you're talking to customers and you're closing them, it's you. You have to learn to connect people. You have to learn how to have conversations, and you have to learn how to negotiate. And most importantly, as a wholesaler, you got to figure out how to market, and you got to learn it really, really fast. So let's see here. Okay, I'm going to catch up on all the questions. Here's a big one. The lack of consistency in your business is terrible. Here's true story. This is how most of my wholesaling went the first 2 years. I would market like crazy. I mean, I'd driving for dollars. I'd put notes on there. I'd chase pre-foreclosures. I'd do code violations. I did everything. I didn't even do probates back then. And then all of a sudden, I'd get a bunch of appointments. And I was really excited. And then I'd get two or three contracts. And then I had to figure out how I'm going to sell these. So I did JVing so I could stick with my motivated sellers and then guess what? I'd stop marketing and I get up there. I do a bunch of deals and then revenue would drop. And then I'd have a 3 month lack. Wife's like, what the hell? What happened? You made so much money and then nothing. I wasn't consistent, guys. It's like I was working on one end of the, I had a boat and there was a hole in the front and I'd go cover that hole up and then the back would start filling up and I couldn't figure out. Which you can sometimes kind of just take the boat out of the water and fix how you operate. So if you do not consistently market and you get tied up and then you decide to build a cash buyers list after you have properties under contracts, multiple contracts, you are going to have massive gaps in your pay, in your income. And until you figure out how to even keel it, whatever you have to do, because there will come a point where you have to hire people to help you out. Because I did the one-man army, guys, for 7 years. I'm not proud of it because I didn't understand. I could have done so much more. And the hope of having this channel is save you the grief I went through. But you have to have consistency. You have to market every day. And when you take a break, you're going to have months and months of gap in income. How do I know this? I lived this roller coaster for a long time. Probably about 5 years I went on this thing. And I found out the cure is just consistency. Come up with a schedule. So remember, we talked about organized earlier in this, creating upward spirals and get your day organized and make sure you never take the eye off the ball on your marketing schedule. So how do you do it? Just create a schedule and stick to it. You have to have a schedule. For the longest time, I winged it my entire life. And if you're like that and you can resonate with it, you got to fix it. Because if you don't fix it and you say, I will do anything to get out of this rut, and I am, but I'm not going to do that. You're just lying to yourself and it's never going to work. So start telling yourself the truth and just fix it. I got to be honest, it's painful when you first do it. But now with these dang smartphones, you just scream out a command. Hey, I don't want my phone going off. I just shout it all day. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. And then I have employees that help me manage my schedule. But you got to start dictating your schedule and setting it a time. And I'm a big fan of doing time blocks. If you want to learn how to do that, go over to freewholesaling.com. I teach you how to do that. Now, let's get in the real heart of this. Quantity and activity is usually what you're lacking in wholesaling when your business isn't working. Let me repeat. Quantity and activity is what you're lacking in your wholesaling business. Quantity you need up front, because you're inexperienced and you don't quite have the skill sets to close one or two random motivated sellers. When you have hundreds or thousands, you're eventually going to find someone that wants to work with you. And you know what magically happens in that journey? You learn wholesaling. So many people want to skip this process. You're doing more work to avoid the work than actually doing the work. I see it every day, guys. It happens all the time. Honestly, how do you fix this? If you get quantity and activity, you put it together, I can help anybody in wholesaling. But whenever somebody has a hole in their system, usually these are the two biggest things I can go to right away. I'm not a rocket scientist, guys, but I've been through this journey myself and I still fight through this journey. And the reality is you need quantity. So here's a lot of people. Well, I talked to 10 people today. I'm like, what are we going to do with 10? Someone told me the other day, I talked to 3 people, Rick. It's not going to work out. Connect with 1,000 sellers as soon as possible if you're new to wholesaling. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. Because that 1,000 people you talk to will make you an experienced wholesaler. It will start cutting your teeth on the journey to learn it. And guys, you can pay someone $25,000 to learn this business. You can learn it for free from me and Zach. I'm going to harp on you on this. Oh, I only talked to 100 people this month. I'm like, okay, you got a great hobby. Don't complain to me. You need to put more zeros behind your numbers to get through it. Now, as you get better, it gets easier. But in the beginning, to cut your teeth, if you truly want to make it in wholesaling, and especially if you don't have money, you are going to have a massive amount of quantity. And you're going to have a high level activity. And if you don't do these two things, no matter what you do, is not going to work in wholesaling. I could sit by you on one side and have Zach on the other side for you for 3 months. And if you didn't do these two things, we get on an airplane and leave right away. Now, I don't do this program. I'm just giving you an example. And I'm trying to prove a point to you. It's you. You can take all the information you want in wholesaling, but the reality is if you're not going to apply it, there's nothing you can do. How do you apply it? Get a ton of leads. And have a high, high level of activity. That's how it works. Okay, we're getting to the end here. Now, I want you to understand this. Everyone's like, hey, you got to work hard. You got to grind. You got to hustle. To a point, guys. But I'm here to tell you. If you just grind and go crazy, you're going to wind up being one of these people, which we talked about earlier, is you're going to be busy. And busy means broke. So if we know that, so how do we fix that? You have got to find a way to work smarter, not harder. Even when in the early stages, let me give an example. If cold calling is your main method of operation for wholesaling, here's the secret to being successful in that strategy. You have to do it yourself first. My God, I have to call people. You chose it. You said that's how you're going to deliver your marketing message, and you instantly outsourced it to multiple VAs or an employee, and you can't understand why you can't get any traction. Number one, you don't even know how to teach them. Number two, you assume they know much more than you do, and they typically don't. Number three, they're going to take advantage of you as long as you keep feeding them the money. You have no idea how to manage them. You don't know what KPIs to ask for, and you don't even know how to cold call yourself. So how could you ever manage them? Do you know my son, he didn't outsource our cold calling department until he approached probably close to 1 million calls himself. And in no example, I'm talking about total dials. Do you understand that? He knows exactly what they're experiencing. He knows all the tricks. He knows how people manipulate it, how many calls you should connect in an hour, knew every detail. But the reality is if you don't know that and you just want to outsource it because it'll be easier, there's not enough money in the world to have someone just do that department for you. If it was, I would have done the whole damn thing from day one. The reason I didn't do it. The thing is, you got to get smarter. You got to work much, much smarter because you can keep busy, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So be honest with yourself. If you have never called before, you don't want to cold call because you're scared to death. And guess what? You just bought someone's pitch. I'm going to do all the cold calling, make your life easier. They're just going to suck the money out of your bank account, leave you deeper in the hole, and you're going to have to start all over again in wholesaling. It's the truth, guys. You got to walk a mile in someone's shoes before you pay someone else to do it. It's just the truth. And the key to all wholesaling is make sure you get the right information. And because there's a lot of really bad information. I heard some information these last few weeks. I've been doing this 20 years. And the confidence people deliver this information in is horrifying. Really bad stuff. Somebody went on here the other day and said, you can't do a probate until the probate is completed. Honestly, guys, 80% of my probates are done before the probate's completed. 80%, and I do hundreds of them. I have dozens of lawyers that'll back me up on them. I've even done an entire segment with a lawyer on this. It just means you don't understand. It means you're lazy. And it just drives me nuts. So if you want to get the right information, go over to freewholesaling.com. If you've never done a wholesaling deal or you've even done 100 deals, I promise you, you can learn something with me and Zach. We put it all out there. We're going on over 3 years of doing this. And all I ever do is add to it. I've never taken away from it. Honestly, I encourage everybody to start here. Why? Because I believe in you, number one. And number two, I want to give you transparency. I don't want anyone to ever think they got ripped off. So the idea is if you get access to the course without a credit card, you've got to do the work. And I've shared enough information with you to basically undo yourself, the stuff that's got you stuck, so you can move forward and do the things necessary in wholesaling. And guys, I believe in this. So go over to freewholesaling.com. It is the best way to connect with us. And guys, listen, if you enjoyed this comment, do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button. And for God's sakes, make sure you subscribe to this channel. I release content only on the Rickon channel. You guys know I do Flip with Rick with my son, and I love that channel. And we're getting ready to approach 100,000 people, which is amazing because we haven't even been doing that long. And remember, guys, I only listen to what you guys say, even the good and bad. I got a lot of haters out there. It is what it is. I get it. Gurus hate me and Zach because they think we're ruining our business. The thing is, they are not. Remember, I talked about life is an inevitable change. It always changes. Why not flip the wholesaling industry upside down and actually make it to where if I get 100 people that log in to freewholesaling.com and 10 people take action, I sleep really good at night because I don't rip off. If I took $5,000 per person, it just gets really old. A lot of people get into wholesaling because they think it's a dream and they think it's going to solve all their problems and it sounds really easy. I'm here to tell you, wholesaling is actually hard, but it's simple. And if you understand that, anybody can do it. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. And this is where I differ from every other guru. I just tell you the truth up front. There is no lies. I've been through the journey. I love this business. I fully admit I have ADHD. That's why wholesaling is perfect for me. I didn't figure this out well until I was deeply into my adult life. And I was told my behavior in school was always going to be a curse. And I'm here to tell you, it absolutely is not. So let's do this. I'm going to go through the comments. I put a link in there to do the one-on-one lives. And we are everything about wholesaling. So let me jump back up here because I had a couple questions on here. Awesome. So Nick is right on this one. Most people are majoring in minor things. I did that for a long time. And it's true. Okay, let me get this off of there. So guys, make sure you subscribe to this channel because I don't charge anything for it. So my only fee is ask for a subscription and a like. And I think that's kind of easy to do. So Jeffrey says, true drinking messes up my whole weekend. It's true, man. Guys, I ain't here to preach about you, but like I was raised my entire life on like acceptance of social life, of like drinking. Guys, I don't care, but like that stuff, just pure poison you put in your body. It took me a long time to realize it. And it is what it is. So Ken says, I agree losing the ego can be a sacrifice, but it's worth it. Ego is way gone. And helping out Lance here, I appreciate it. And guys, it's just like, you guys know what to do. It just, sometimes you just got to say it out loud. So I like this channel because there's things that I can say that I don't know if I'd say on the Flip with Rick channel, but you guys are a different crowd. So make sure you subscribe to this channel. Let's see here. Don't forget. Oh, okay. So yeah, I forgot about this. Yvonne reminded me, guys, actually, we're going to do it on Flip with Rick. So if you go on Flip with Rick at 8 p.m., it's worth it. Trust me. Trust me on this. Go there. Check it out. It's a short video. It'll be a short video. Get to the point because I know you guys got a lot going on this week. I promise you, this is going to change how you do whole, and it's for the better. It's a really good thing. I don't overhype things often, but I'm just telling you, this is worth it. Me and Zach have been heavily involved in this. We've pushed for this for a long time. It is so up our alley here. You guys are going to love it. Make sure you go there. I promise you, it is worth it. And then me and Zach are going to be doing, because we have, obviously, it's a short week. We'll be on Flip with Rick live tomorrow. We're going to discuss all about it. I think we're going to run you through it, show you guys. You're going to absolutely love it. So don't forget about that. So that is awesome. I appreciate you. And you guys are the reason I'm here. So let's jump on and let's do some live. So hopefully I can hear you guys. Jeremy, you there?
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Can't believe you picked me. I'm doing good. I have so much I've been wanting to say. First off, do you know who I am?
I think you're Jeremy.
I'm just joking.
Okay.
I actually wrote down questions so I didn't forget.
Okay. Do I know you, Jeremy?
No, I was just joking by what you said earlier.
Dude, is that a fish tank behind you?
Yeah, it is.
Is that freshwater?
Yeah, I got parrot fish in there.
Ah. You guys, I had a point in my life where I got deep in the tank. So I would, as a small boy, I always had tanks. I do a lot of fishing. But I raised coral for 4 or 5 years. I actually built a custom house with it. And I wound up selling the house because somebody offered me a ridiculous amount of money. I had to take that. I mean, it was so elaborate. Like, you couldn't even, the whole damn thing was ran by software and computers. And I really geeked out onto it. I enjoy aquariums. They're a lot of work, though. Like, it's
Is saltwater more work than the freshwater?
Coral, I had about $60,000 into the system. And I had, I had two part-time consultants help me do everything. And here's the bet. You want to hear the wild part? It took 1 year before I even put a fish or a coral in it to set it up. That's how complicated it was. You got to understand, coral has to have everything perfect. And you have to create an entire ecosystem. I love freshwater tanks. I had Oscars when I was a kid, and I love those. And but I love but tanks.
They don't take a year to set up, so.
Yeah, but they're. I love fish tanks. I love the background on it. So awesome, man. So what's going on, man? What are your questions?
I guess I'll start off with the government list. I live in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and I've been to the office 3 times. I've talked to maybe 4 clerks. They all tell me the list don't exist.
Which list exactly? Because there's a lot of them.
Specifically, cash sales. They tell me that does not exist.
That's not a government list.
It's not. Okay.
Yeah. So how deep have you gone through freewholesaling.com? And this aligns with our conversation today. You know, we like talk about, you can tell me whatever you want, but you got to tell yourself the truth. If you go all the way through freewholesaling.com, by the way, I can log in there right now and tell what percentage of the videos you've actually watched. I'm not going to do that, but like, I'm here to tell you, I give you the information for a government list has nothing to do with cash sales. Nothing. Zero. Zada. A government list. So we'll use this as a learning moment. So I'm not picking on you because other people have these questions. You're the one that so you have the guts to say it aloud. A government list is derived from the government, obviously. And this is where, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, if you want to look for a fire, you look for the smoke first, right? So if you're going to look for a motivated seller, you got to look for signs of motivation. When the government starts picking on you and puts you on a public list, you got problems going on. Nobody chooses to be on this list. So give me an example of a government list, something that would be like a smoke and fire.
Well, I'm trying to do reverse wholesaling. So find the buyers first. So that's why I wanted to look up cash sales to know who's buying real estate.
Correct. Okay. So you're not going to get that on a government list. It's an entire segment of free wholesaling that all we do is talk about how to get your cash buyers. You got to go through that thing in depth.
And I've probably watched 90%, but I obsess with your guys' videos. Like, I've watched 100.
I know, but like, listen, I love it. And it got you to this point, but now you got to do the boring work of watching training videos. And dude, I got ADHD. Like, you should have saw me shooting those videos for the longest time. And by the way, I update them every month. It's exhausting, but I'm telling you, it's all in there. And I want you to go through it. And then if you have another question, just reach out to me again. But I can tell you haven't gone all the way through it because you're mixing up the lists and one has nothing to do with the other. So you've got to find cash buyers. So you can do it the free way or you can do it the paid way.
Batch leads, I guess, right?
Well, the free way is first to just look for rent signs in areas that you're looking to possibly invest in. And that's people that rent properties out. Like I have plenty of rentals. I'm a great cash buyer. One of the easiest ways is to find one of my signs on the internet or find it in front of a property. And that's how I started getting my first cash buyers list. The second way.
Question number two is I'm busy broke. I know who I need to call, but I keep just stalling, I guess. I know to call for rents. I actually have a list of like 60 I need to call. Yeah. I did skip tracing myself, looked up the deed, found their phone numbers. I'm just not calling.
Well, I can't make you do it.
I know that. I'm just saying.
You know what you need to do. So part of this is you got to look at your current situation now because, guys, you got to understand I was in this fight with every one of you. Dude, I was trying to look rich, trying to keep up with the Joneses, leasing a Mercedes, which was a joke. I look back now, it's one of the worst decisions I ever made. And I just said, I remember just going to my wife, this is ridiculous. I can't keep this pace. She's like, what do you mean? I go, I'm not happy.
And Ed Milet had a fake Mercedes.
Yeah. So you just decide at some point to make the sacrifice. So what I did is I came up with my why, which I teach you all on freewholesaling.com. And I wrote it down on my bathroom mirror. And then I developed conviction. And conviction is the armor you need to move forward. Conviction is like fighting a battle in a tank as opposed to just running through like with no armor. Because people are going to shoot arrows at you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. Like, this is stupid. Why don't you just go get a regular job like all of it? So once you have your why and your conviction, you can get through doing this stuff. Because if you truly want to make a change, you're going to have to do things differently than how you've done them to this point. And so here's what I want you to do. Because I don't have a lot of time because I want to help out as many people as possible. Go through freewholesaling.com. Pretend you paid me 10 grand and start digging into it. I promise you it is the best wholesaling course out there, period.
I think it's just a fear of failing because
I can't make you consume the information. Like that's where, if I could, I would, but like I can only be in so many places so many times. And then I can tell how you're progressing with the quality of questions you ask me when you call, when you dial in on the show.
Just be honest. I think I'm most worried about failing because then I'll be at a W-2 job if I don't, you know, that's just me thinking out loud, you know, whatever.
Where were you at before doing this?
I've done everything. I actually still work construction 4 days out of the week.
But. Listen, I told you I worked 8-9 months before I left wholesaling full time. I didn't have a choice, dude. Like I had bills, big bills. And I'm here to tell you, like we all entered into this thing called life when we were born. None of us are getting out. You understand that? Like, you know, tomorrow, as long as you had a roof on your head, some clean running water and some food, you'll live. Everything else is a bonus. And that's how I look at it. I've just been through some of the most tragic crap any man or human being can be like in life. And I'm still here. Like just, you know, you ever deal with death with a family member is the freaking worst. There's nothing that can replace it. It hurts. And honestly, if I could bring my sister back, I would give every dime I have to my, I would go live in a fucking, I had to figure that out. I would go live in a tent. So money's temporary. It's just a means to get what you want in life. And I'm here to tell you, you got to take kind of that attitude. I have it because it's happened to me multiple times in less than 2 years and it hurts, but I'm a grown man. This is life happens. This stuff happens and you got to learn to take care of yourself, your family, and you got to be grateful for what you have right now. So you guys are getting ready to go through the holidays. This is the time and just look around what you have. Stop looking around what you don't have and just find a way to do an upward spiral because we're all going to the same place eventually. And that's, I'm not here to get in religion and all this other crap, but if you know that, like just give it your best shot forward because everything's temporary in this life. Like, so you might as well just have the best time you can humanly possibly have, meaning create the most fulfillment. How do you do it? You got to create revenue. Once you get revenue, then you make decisions to make your life better. And it just goes up from, for the last 20 years, it's just everything more positive. Now, have I had negative things happen to me? Absolutely. I hate death, guys, but it happens. So it makes you, without life, without birth and death, we could never appreciate the things we have in life. And I want you to understand that, Jeremy. Like, it's, go through wholesaling.com. Go, just go and bury yourself into it and get it done. But I don't want you to be afraid, because it's you can't go through life being afraid. No one's going to hurt you in wholesaling, but you do have to commit if you're going to do it. And you can even do another job and do it. I've proved that myself. So I want you to go all the way through it. Pretend you paid me 10K. And I want you temporarily to stop watching the videos. You can watch them for entertainment, but you need to go do the work and just go through it. So the first section is going to be marketing and how to get cash buyers. So you're going to do for rent signs. You can also reach out to realtors with that represent cash buyers. That are my absolute favorite. I'm not a big fan of realtors, but this is the one time you can actually utilize a realtor. And in today's market, they're extremely valuable.
You offer to pay them a couple $1,000s.
And you pay them their full, you pay them the full commission.
Okay.
Who cares? You got to understand. So on average, a realtor, a cash buyer's agent will pay me 15% more than what I get on my wholesale fee.
Oh.
And you're concerned about paying them 5 or 6%.
Okay.
And that's it. And then here's the best part is, they're not going to work for free. They don't waste time. And 9 times out of 10, the realtor looks at the property without their client and they make a super fast decision. I get no drama. I love it. They're not the easiest to find. You got to go through and dig. So sometimes you can find a realtor friend that'll pull you the list. There are services that'll do it for you. But sometimes just scrolling through the internet and find it out. A realtor that represents cash buyer agents predominantly in your area. Oh my God. Once you find them, dude, they are gold. They are the best, best, best. It does take some time to get them. That's 2 quick free ways to do it. And anytime you can attend an auction or anything in your area, go out there. There's some of the best cash buyers out there. They are a little bit more of a pain in the ass because they're kind of cheap. But if they auction off a property and there's 50 people there, that means 49 people are going to leave disappointed. That's where you go.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. No.
Okay. Go through freewholesaling.com. Just dig through, especially the first half of it. You need more help there.
I appreciate you and Zach so much. I really
do. Okay, Jeremy. I appreciate you, man. Keep that tank running, man. See ya. It's easy, guys. we got to do the work and we got to make it happen. So, okay, let me pull up. Who's on deck here? Let me just check a couple comments. A shot color. It's live and you know it. And I love this one. Today is Make a Guru Cry Today. If you want to figure out how to do it, go over to the Flip with Rick and check out the 8 o'clock announcement. I'm telling you, man, for everybody on this channel, you should be thought it's not, it's like, it's a really good thing. It's going to upset a lot of gurus and a lot of people. But that's why it's just, I just love when people change this industry. I love working with vendors that want to change this industry, because they get it and they get me and Zach. Most people don't get me and Zach because they're like, you guys do everything so differently. Here's the thing is, we do what wholesalers want. I don't make a video and go, oh my God, I hope they watch it. I just listen to your feedback. Hey, Rick, can you shoot a video on how to find cash buyers? Hey, Rick, can you tell me how an assignment of contract works? Hey, Rick, can you show me how to do this, do that? I'm like, okay, let's do it. Did I ever tell you, let me show you how to put the most amount of money in my bank account why I can take advantage of you. So it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, EST. EST. Okay. Let's see here. Who did I miss? Okay. Brady, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
What you snacking on, man?
Just some gum.
Oh, okay. That's a big wad of gum in your mouth there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, so... Would you say that cold calling at 10 a.m. is a good idea or no?
Just depends. I mean, here's my theory on cold calling. Some people have very restrictive schedules, either due to current jobs and obligations, and sometimes you just got to cold call when you can.
Right.
Now, ideally, I would never call anyone before 10 a.m., especially before 9 a.m., because you're just going to get your butt chewed out. But the ideal time, if you had to do a sweet spot, would be in the evening. It's just, it's natural. People get off work, they're at home. But I do have more success afternoon, after like lunchtime. And so the absolute cutoffs would be before 9 a.m. and really after, I'd say 8, some people say 9 p.m.
Okay.
Because you just, remember we talk about working smarter, not harder.
Right.
But there's some people that have a restrictive schedule. They got kids, they got this. I've got 2 jobs. I'm like, dude, just call when you call. Just don't call before 9 a.m. and don't call after 9 p.m. Those are my only rules. Should I call weekends? Dude, call whenever you can.
Okay.
So you have to kind of navigate through it. Now, if you have nothing but time on your hands, I'd pick the most ideal part of the schedule, which would be like from noon to like 7 or 8 p.m. ideally. Yeah. And honestly, if you want to push it back, I'd probably go closer to like 1 or 2 o'clock and get people past like their lunch. But I don't know. I've connected with people like all times of the day. I'm not really a cold caller. So I look at the stats. And remember, I had Zach living with me when he was a teenager, and the guy just cold called. And he just finally goes, dude, sometimes I got to get my numbers in. I got to get my reps in. I just do it when I can do it. And so like, try not to do the perfect schedule, but just like, think about when you don't want to receive a phone call. And 9 times out of 10, the common sense will answer most of these questions. You don't really need me to tell you this, I promise you. So the only days that are forbidden are Christmas and Thanksgiving. If you want to get lit up, go ahead and call.
Okay. Yeah. And when I cold call the probate lists, a lot of the time they're like, oh, well, you're some sort of investor. You're going to lowball me. Well, like, yeah, I was going to lowball them, but, you know, they're not going to, you know, go off market. They're going to want to list with the realtor. And you and me both, we don't like realtors, but I mean, would you say it's a good idea to become a realtor just to list with them?
That is terrible. Sorry. Dude, my wife's a realtor. She's a broker. I own an agency with her. I'm just telling you, it's like, it's Hatfield McCoy. Like sometimes she's like, I ain't do it. Like, so for a long time, I ran a pretty big real estate agency, and dude, it was hell. It's terrible. I did that on top of wholesaling, and the margins suck. It's extremely expensive operation to run. And the reality is, there's only 2 ways to work with realtors. You ready? This is how you do it. Outside of cash buyers agents, it's this simple. Number one, find a realtor that's open to talking. I never represent myself as a wholesaler because NAR is already taken care of and told them how bad we are. You know, from day one, they're programmed to hate us.
Oh, yeah.
We're all time wasters on that. Now, so there's only 2 ways to work with a realtor. Find one that wants to work with you. Here's the ones I look for. Brand new, out of real estate school, or seasoned old ones that just kind of want to, they like real estate. They just don't want to be ran by a broker.
Yeah.
So what I do is I teach them, I go, listen, whenever you get that listing and you look at the house and you go, man, that thing looks like it's rough. You know, it's not going to pass inspections. It's going to be very iffy on financing. And you're going to tell the seller to put money into it. Mm-hmm. And the seller says, I don't want to put money into it. Call me. I'll buy the house. I'll pay you to represent me on it. Dual agency, whatever. I don't get into technical stuff. And I'll pay your commissions. And then we'll talk about if I'm going to list it with you or not. I'm not quite sure I want to do it with him. It's how much money the property needs and how much work it needs. That's it. I don't want them calling me every day. If they call you every day, you sent the wrong message. To this date, I get at least 10 to 12 deals a year just like that off that. I just train them what I'm looking for. You know why? Because it's easy. The realtor doesn't have to put it on MLS. They don't have to do any work, and they know it's going to be a lot of work to sell a house like that, and they get it done quickly. Now, I have to deliver. The second way is I have them call me on their problem properties that they've listed. They're usually 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
They said the realtor just told me to get an offer or they're going to drop my list. Then they're motivated and they want to talk to you. It's the only 2 way I talk to realtors other than one with cash buyers agents. That's a whole different story, but that's the only way. And the other way is like, can you get a wholesale deal off MLS? You can, but like, I mean, you can also go out in the middle of a field and find like a gold necklace, but you know how long that's going to take you to do? it's going to require a ridiculous amount of energy. Right. And most people are going to quit before they do it. So that's the only two ways I like to work with realtors for motivated sellers. And any other way is a huge waste of time, in my opinion. These people that teach entire programs on how to just sit there on MLS all day, the only time I ever had it work was 2010 to 2012. Why? It was the worst real estate market in U.S. history ever. And it still was a pain in the butt, by the way. Because every realtor is like, well, you know, I could get full price. You're just lowballing me. I'm like, everybody's lowballing right now. So I stay away from words of lowballing and wholesaler. And when they say you're going to lowball it, I go, I'm going to see what the property's worth and make you an offer accordingly. Like, you just got to speak different code, because all that negative energy they give you, it's all been pre-programmed into it. And that's why you get it. And I want you guys all to understand that. So that's it.
I actually have a property under contract in up north Wisconsin. I know you don't like real small markets and stuff like that, but
yeah,
you know, people do like cabins in Wisconsin and stuff. So there's a small niche market for it, but you know, I don't know any cash buyers up there. There's no cash sales on PropStream.
How much is under contract for?
18 or 19K.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, send it over to support@flipwithrick.com.
Okay.
I'm interested in looking at it.
Okay.
I'm really like just fascinated. I'm going to be honest with you. What part of Wisconsin?
So it's in a small part called Loretta, Wisconsin. It's near Hayward. If you know where that is.
About how far is from Milwaukee is that?
Huh. So I'm in Milwaukee and it's, I'd say four hours. So it's way near Duluth.
So I do some in Milwaukee, by the way. I have two partners I have there that I work extensively with. So just so you know.
Okay, cool.
But I'm curious. So don't depend on me, because that's a really small market. But I'm always looking for like second little projects or places I can travel to. But probably something like a little bit bigger than that. But I'm just curious. If you want to send it over, love to take a look at it, because I look alike. At a lot of log cabins and stuff like that. They're kind of cool. I was just talking to my wife the other day about like buying one for a summer home, but we're trying to finish up some projects we have here in Florida. And then I got to go search the United States somewhere. It's like the next like Montana or like the next Wyoming. And so I like Wyoming. I just don't understand it enough to buy there. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of Driftless, Wisconsin. It's the Driftless area where like the Ice Age, something during the Ice Age, the glaciers didn't hit there. So it's really like hilly and mountainous. So it's really nice. And it's in that area.
I'm going to have to check that out. So, yeah. Okay. If you want to send me something, do a support at Flip with Rick, I'll take a look.
Yeah, I will. But I called the realtor that like sold a house a few months ago, like right next to it. And they're like, I know what you're doing. It's not legal. But like, I know it's legal in Wisconsin. I'm like, I can't even talk to them.
Dude, I get this every day. So it's like, listen, if you don't think it's legal, then like move on with your life. I'm not asking for your permission.
Right. Like I told them that I would, you know, give them money if they provided me a buyer too. So I don't know what their problem was.
They just don't understand. Here's the difference. If you don't understand, but more importantly, you don't want to understand, there's nothing I can say to you to convince you to do it. So like, just don't waste energy on people like that. Like if they're not open to it, move on.
Okay.
It is what it is. What are those things retail for?
What do you mean?
Like that type of cabin. Like what should a reasonable comp sell for?
I mean, in the neighborhood, like a newly updated house sold for 100K, 120K.
Oh, wow. How much work does that one need? You have under contract?
Tons of work.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Brady?
Yeah, the seller for that one, he wants a $3,000 down payment to him.
Dude, that's insanity, dude.
I know. I told him,
yeah, no, that's,
we'll close quick and you'll get your money then.
Here's $100. Go have a nice day. Like, are you kidding me? On $19,000, like, give me a break.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But he's like, well, you know, I owe a lot of money right now and I need to fix my roof before the winter comes. I'm like, all right, dude, that's not my problem.
Exactly. So don't make it your problem until, you know, it works out right for you. So,
Okay.
Send it over. I'd love to take a look at it, man.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Okay. See you. People are so funny, aren't they? Okay. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Jason, let's take one more, man. How you doing?
Yes, I get on every time. I'm so happy. Hey, I got two deals done on Saturday. Two under contract. Yeah. I did horrible at negotiating. I couldn't walk away. I couldn't make them feel the loss of me not wanting the deal. Like I could have made like an extra 30 grand on it. Uh-huh. But you know, you live and learn. I was going to tell you, like, this guy was, he had like a foreclosure coming in 2 weeks and he was asking 80 grand for the property. I did was I brought like the guy I did my first deal with. Mm-hmm. I brought him to the property because it was vacant. He said I could go in it without him. I said, what would you give for it? He said 90 grand. The seller won 80 grand. And obviously, like, you know, it's a small fee, but it's I'm like, okay, cool. I got a deal. But I sat down with the guy in a McDonald's.
yeah.
And like I couldn't negotiate this. And I just didn't know if you had any words on this, any like sort of thoughts on how I could have maybe improved. Because
what was the big sticking point with him?
The rebuttal he came with me, I was like, I said, I did what you guys teach with, I said, I lowballed him 70% of what he gave me. So he told me 80 grand. I was like, listen, like, light would love to be at, like, my other guys would love to be at 56 grand. They'd love mm-hmm. to be at. And then he was like, no. I was like, okay, cool. Go for no.
Yeah.
But he said he has other people looking at it. And honestly, I just couldn't. I was like, all right, he's going to call other people. I'm just going to, like, I primed him to say, like, hey, if we meet, yeah. I want to sign something.
So let me give you a little tip on negotiating. If you guys would just use the words your sellers give you and listen mm-hmm. very carefully. So there's a key word he said there. It says there's other people looking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got looking doesn't. Looking is a huge time waster. It's exhausting. And unless you think you have gold, like a perfect property, which it probably isn't.
No.
Looking doesn't mean anything. Looking to me is like we're wasting a lot of time and they're not overly interested, but I'm trying to rope them in.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm not looking. I'm looking to buy. But like, honestly, if you want to go with lookers, that's fine. I want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving you real numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I get you didn't like my first offer, but like, tell me what number you think you need to get rid of this property and just keep going. But I would have just keyed on the word looking because looking is code word is what people are wasting his time.
Mm.
Aren't you kind of tired of this? Do you want someone to buy or look at it? And I use that one all the time.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then sometimes when they get really like ticked off with your offer,
mm-hmm.
I can never do that number.
Mm.
Here's a good one. Guys, this is worth the whole live right here because this took me 20 years to learn. I get it, Mr. Seller, but let's see what the house can afford.
Mm.
Are you open to doing that? It's like, so it switches it back to what the value of the house is. Like sometimes these houses are train wrecks and mm-hmm. people have a wish list. I have someone right now, they want $500,000 for a property. I got it referred to me. My acquisition guy looked at it. He goes, Rick, we're not paying more than like $350 for it. It's a nightmare.
Mm.
And so he goes, he's trying to convince me or Zach to come by there. I go, dude, it better be worth my time. Like, I don't know what I pay you for. If I have to go on every appointment, I did that for 7 years. Like, but to me to get that person from $500 to $350, it just, they're going to have an awakening. And the problem is, ready for this? They've been trying to sell the property for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't accept the truth. So this is perfect with the live we're talking about. Sometimes you have to sit down and it's almost like an intervention with some people. You just got to wait them out. But here's the key. Keep listening to the words they tell you and use it as loaded ammo for your negotiations. I hear the word looking, I'm getting tired, like stuff like that. It's like, my favorite is when like sometimes when I used to have to compete with realtors, you want to talk about a Hatfield McCoy award. They're like, I think we're gonna list your property for $399,999. I'm like, I'm not interested in listing. I'm going to buy your property.
Mm.
You told me you want to get it sold.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two agents sitting here. They seem like great people, but I don't know how you're going to get through the inspection period and the financing contingency.
Mm.
Like, you told me you don't want a headache. You want certainty. My favorite word in wholesaling is when they say, I want to put this thing, like, I want it done. I want mm-hmm. certainty. And certainty is a huge, is one of the fundamental human characteristics. We all have it.
Mm-hmm.
We all want certainty and uncertainty variety, but like certainty when like you're panic and things aren't working out, people want mm-hmm. certainty. And that's where mm-hmm. that's the golden ticket you hunt for a motivated seller. But just key in on the words they use, like mm-hmm. hyper, like you really have to be attuned and listen very carefully. And you'll recognize as you go, but when the word looking, it means, did you ever have somebody like look at, you ever tried to sell a car at someone? Cause we want to come by and look at it. You're like, crap, here we go. Like another tire kicker and do all this. I just say, listen, I want to buy the property. If you want to sell it, let's find a number that works, but it's got to work for both of us. And sometimes when they get way off, I go, listen, I know you want 500,000, but I got to see what the house can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the pictures and the video sent to me and my guy going out there, it needs a lot of work. Yeah, it needs a lot of work. I'm like, okay. And that's sometimes it's too big of a gap to cover, but you just got to figure out like, what's the distance I got to cover and how much energy I'm going to put into it. If you have a large price gap to cover, it's going to take time. That's the only thing that ever cures those, and a really good conversation and connecting with them. But like when you get down that last 10%, to me, that's the fun part. When I got to close 30%, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't care how good of a negotiator you are. The only thing it is, you got to basically befriend them over a 6 month to a year period to get that reduction you truly need. So
it was just hard to like walk away from it because I knew I could make money. Yeah, but off
sometimes
it,
deals do need time. Time can be your friend. The amount of deals I've let another wholesaler put it on contract, I'm like, dude, that guy's 30 grand over like the price it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so confident he can't move it. I'm going to let him put it under contract. And here's what I tell the seller. I go, I'll tell you what, I get it. Take that number, but I keep a couple things in mind. Your highest offer is not always the best offer. It's usually the riskiest.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I want to step out of the play. Cause if that plays out for you, I want you to get that extra 30 grand. You deserve it. But can you do me a favor? If for some reason that contract falls through, can we come back and revisit this topic? They go, yeah. And now when it falls through, they don't want to do it again. And that's my favorite. The failed wholesaler is one of my favorite. It's frustrating. I've had thousands of deals like that, but sometimes you do have to strategic. You've got to be patient with people to a point. Mm-hmm. But honestly, guys, you're better off pushing up front and pissing off a few people than being a conservative person and never pushing anyone and never getting a deal under contract. You just got to find the balance. And sometimes you just read people wrong. It happens. Like people go, I really don't know the value of my house. I'm like, you know the value. Like some older people I've dealt with, they really don't know the value of the house. And that's where you got to bring in a lawyer or a family member. Because if you try to like get it 50 cents on the dollar, like you are not going to be happy at the end. Because that whole deal can be unwound and be considered like elderly abuse. So sometimes I get some old senile people and like I help them out. 9 times out of 10, they shouldn't even be selling me the house. I'm like, and then I bring in the family. They look at it like, oh my God, this is terrible. I go, well, we should list it with a realtor. I go, hold on. Before you list it with a realtor, let's walk through this. Mm-hmm. And then we go through the comps. Here's what it is. She goes, well, it sells for 400,000. I go, yeah, if you put 100 grand into it, I completely agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, well then you can just buy it for 300, Mr. Rick. No, I'm not going to just minus off the cost and do it for you. There's realtor fees, there's closing fees, and this is going to take a lot of time. This could take 6 months to rehab. So I'm going to offer you 240 is my number. And they're like, oh, you're crazy. And then we usually wind up, you know, maybe 250 or something like that. And that's progression like some deals. But like some of them, you just, dude, the amount of deals I got waiting right now, like you guys wouldn't even believe me. Probably hundreds, just people we wait out. That's why I have people that help me just, follow-up is huge. Follow-up is 70% of the game. It's so funny. People say 70%. That, to be honest with you guys, it's everyone's guess. More than half your deals are going to be from follow-up. Mm. I hate when people throw out inaccurate numbers like that, but it is what it is. So,
the can I ask you another quick question? You gotta go.
Yes, one more. Let's go.
The so you remember that's a voice lead? I don't know if you remember what I was telling you about. The guy was so motivated, so much. You're like, it's not even worth chasing because it requires two people to sign off on. I don't know. It's a typical divorce lead.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're tough, man. Like, listen, yeah. Guys, I don't target divorce lists because I've tried and tried and tried. And everyone gets excited. And by the time we get to the end, it's hard to get the deals inked. Meaning, even if you get a contract signed, like a lot of times, say the husband in the relationship calls you, the wife hates you instantly because you're associated with them. And it's just hard. Like a few have worked out. Some people are cordial, but like when there's kids involved, I won't even consider it. Cause it's like, he's like, she needs to sell the house and move out. I'm like, dude, your kids are in that house. Mm. Like it's just hard, dude. I went through a nasty divorce when I was young and we all have baggage from crap like this, but it's hard, man. It's one of the most painful things people can go through life. So it's like, how much trauma do you want to go through and how much do you want to be yelled at? And so, but just, you can't force it. Just like in probate, when say I've got six heirs and five out of the six agree and one's holding out, I said, listen, you guys all got to get together and figure it out. I can't. Mm-hmm. Well, can you help us convince her? I'm like, that's not my job. Mm-hmm. You can't do it because she's just going to get more bitter. You just have to wait them out. And after a while, there are techniques they can use, but you're going to need some time. And I tell the family always to work it out. So everybody has a family. There's huge dynamics when it comes to divorce, when it comes to death, it's hard. And you cannot like get personally involved in the family. You are just the cash buyer. And you just try to make everything as easy as you possibly can. But so a lot of times the guy will call me and like, he just wants to give it away and she wants $1 million. I'm just like, and he'll say, can't you just run it through? My name's on there. She's not. I'm like, she has to sign, dude. It's the right thing to do. And it's required by law. And it's going to be required by the underwriters for the title company. So dude, I get divorced. I tell my guys, don't kill yourself on it. They're hard.
Well, she wants to sell it though. That was my question. And she's getting an appraiser to come this week, which sort of makes me like worry. Yeah,
appraiser, now you're wasting your time. So
what? It's because that's retail stuff. And
it's retail. So now you're going to put a false number in her head and she's going to, and appraiser is just guessing, by the way. He's doing the exact same thing you do to a point. Go, listen, we do the appraiser thing all you want, but remember you got to list it. You got to go through inspections. You can have people parading through the house. And if you don't want that, you just kind of want a convenient quick sale. And the reality is they all know deep down they're leaving some money on the table. There is a price for speed and convenience. If they want to acknowledge it or not, but like, here's what you want to avoid. You do not want to be the cash buyer that buys it less the realty fees and the closing fees and the repairs. And that's what most people try to trick you in. This is where most wholesalers don't understand the difference on it. So you got to price it out accordingly. So just listen, if you have a divorced couple, you got to get consent from both. So initially, if I can't talk to both parties, I won't even negotiate the deal. There's no point because you just waste your time.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, man. Have a good one. Thank
you. Yep.
Okay. See you. So guys, make sure that you tune in at 8 o'clock tonight on Flip with Rick. It'll be on YouTube and I believe Zach will be there and we'll be brief and to the point. I'm not going to waste time. You guys are all going to be talking about it tomorrow. We'll be on live tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Flip with Rick because we got a shortened up week. But check us out 8 o'clock tonight. The big announcement is going to change and it's going to be a huge help to you guys in wholesaling. I promise you, I don't hype this up for a reason. I've asked in the last 7 years for this. I have begged for it and it's coming. So I want you guys to jump on there and make sure you take advantage of that. Let me take this off here. And guys, listen, if you got value from today, make sure you subscribe this button. Make sure you hit that like button. This is Rick and I'll see you guys tomorrow at 1 p.m. Actually, I will see you in a little bit at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And for the big announcement, as I said, it'll be short. So you guys can get to bed, get to dinner, get to your football games, whatever. But I appreciate you guys. Thanks for your time tonight. And I'll see you soon. 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Flip with Rick. See ya.